Only the topmost ridges were in the sun now. The shadow in the valley was blue and soft. From the distance came the sound of the men shouting to one another. George turned his head and listened to the shouts. Lenny said,
"George?"
"Yeah?"
"Ain't you gonna give me hell?"
"Give you hell?"
"Sure. Like you always done before. Like if I didn't have you, I'd take my $50.
"Jesus Christ, Lenny. You can't remember nothing that happens. But you remember every word I say."
"Well, ain't you gonna say it?"
George shook himself. He said woodenly, "If I was alone, I could live so easy." His voice was monotonous, had no emphasis. "I could get a job, not have no mess." He stopped.
"Go on,"
said Lenny.
"And when the end of the month come..."
"And when the end of the month come, I could take my $50 and go to a cat house." He stopped again. Lenny looked eagerly at him.
"Go on, George. Ain't you gonna give me no more hell?"
"No," said George.
"Well, I can go away,"
said Lenny.
"I'll go right off in the hills and find a cave if you don't want me."
George shook himself again. "No," he said. "I want you to stay with me here." Lenny said craftily,
"Tell me like you done before."
"Tell you what?"
"About the other guys and about us."
George said, "Guys like us got no family. They make a little stake and they blow it in. They ain't got nobody in the world gives a hoot in hell about them."
"But not us,"
Lenny cried happily.
"Tell about us now."
George was quiet for a moment. "But not us," he said.
"Because?"
"Because I got you and..."
"And I got you. We got each other. That's what that gives a hoot in hell about us."
Lenny cried in triumph. The little evening breeze blew over the clearing and the leaves rustled and the wind waves flowed up the green pool. And the shouts of men sounded again. This time much closer than before. George took off his hat. He said shakily, "Take off your hat, Lenny. The air feels fine." Lenny removed his hat dutifully and laid it on the ground in front of him. The shadow in the valley was bluer, and the evening came fast. On the wind, the sound of crashing in the brush came to them. Lenny said,
"Tell how it's gonna be."
George had been listening to the distant sounds. For a moment, he was businesslike. "Look across the river, Lenny, and I'll tell you so you can almost see it." Lenny turned his head and looked off across the pool and up the darkening slopes of the Gavilans. "We're gonna get a little place," George began. He reached in his side pocket and brought out Carlson's Luger. He snapped off the safety, and the hand and gun lay on the ground behind Lenny's back. He looked at the back of Lenny's head, at the place where the spine and skull were joined. A man's voice called from up the river, and another man answered.
"Go on,"
said Lenny. George raised the gun, and his hand shook, and he dropped his hand to the ground again.
"Go on,"
said Lenny.
"How's it gonna be? We're gonna get a little place."
"We'll have a cow," said George. "And we'll have maybe a pig and chickens. And down in the flat, we'll have a little piece of alfalfa."
"For the rabbits,"
Lenny shouted. "For the rabbits," George repeated.
"And I get to tend the rabbits."
"And you get to tend the rabbits." Lenny giggled with happiness.
"And live off the fat of the land."
"Yes." Lenny turned his head.
"No, Lenny.
Look down across the river, like you can almost see the place." Lenny obeyed him. George looked down at the gun. There were crashing footsteps in the brush now. George turned and looked toward them.
"Go on, George. When are we gonna do it?
Gonna do it soon. Me and you. You and me. Everybody gonna be nice to you. Ain't gonna be no more trouble. Nobody gonna hurt nobody nor steal from 'em, Lenny said.
I thought you was mad at me, George.
No, George said. No, Lenny. I ain't mad. I ain't never been mad, and I ain't now. That's the thing I want you to know. The voices came close now. George raised the gun and listened to the voices. Lenny begged.
Let's do it now. Let's get that place now.
Sure. Right now. I gotta. We gotta. And George raised the gun and steadied it, and he brought the muzzle of it close to the back of Lenny's head. The hand shook violently, but his face set and his hand steadied. He pulled the trigger. The crash of the shot rolled up the hills and rolled down again. Lenny jarred, and then settled slowly forward to the sand, and he lay without quivering. George shivered and looked at the gun, and then he threw it from him, back up on the bank near the pile of old ashes. The brush seemed filled with cries and with the sound of running feet. Slim's voice shouted,
George? Where you at, George?
But George sat stiffly on the bank and looked at his right hand that had thrown the gun away. The group burst into the clearing and Curly was ahead. He saw Lenny lying on the sand.
Got him, by God!
He went over and looked down at Lenny, and then he looked back at George.
Right in the back of the head,
he said softly. Slim came directly to George and sat down beside him, sat very close to him.
Never you mind, said Slim. A guy got to sometimes.
But Carlson was standing over George.
How'd you do it?
He asked.
I just done it, George said tiredly.
Did he have my gun?
Yeah. He had your gun.
And you got it away from him, and you took it, and you killed him?
Yeah. That's how.
George's voice was almost a whisper. He looked steadily at his right hand that had held the gun. Slim twitched George's elbow.
Come on, George. Me and you'll go in and get a drink.
George let himself be helped to his feet.
Yeah, a drink.
Slim said,
You had a, George. I swear you had a. Come on with me.
He led George into the entrance of the trail and up toward the highway. Curly and Carlson looked after them, and Carlson said,
Now what the hell you suppose is eating them two guys?
This has been a presentation of Penguin High Bridge Audio.